Trail Runners. Welcome to episode 20 of the Trail Runners Experience. So tell me, have you ever run an ultra marathon? Does the thought of running more than a marathon seem unfathomable? Well, today's guest is an ultra marathon newbie. Rebecca Hunt recently completed the Heisen 57 kilometer ultra, her first ever ultra marathon. During today's episode, Rebecca takes us on a journey into her first ultra, including the highs, the lows, and everything in between. I hope you actually enjoy this episode and get something out of it. So sit back and enjoy the show. Okay, so I'm sitting here with ultra runner newbie, I'll say, Rebecca Hunt, legendary. Nice to see you, Rebecca.
Hi, thank you.
I say newbie. I didn't want to say ultra running. You didn't just lose your ultra running virginity, as some people say, because I think it sounds a bit crass. But essentially, so you just finished the Heisen 10. Oh, the 57.
Yes, the 57.
Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I guess I got you because I met you on the bus on the way down to the start line, and I remember there was you were very excited, and that your excitement was really contagious, and it reminded me of my first ultra, and so I wanted to capture that and put it in a bottle and put it on the podcast. I want to hear all about it. So yeah, was it everything you'd hoped it would be?
That's a big question. I think we put a lot of expectation on events like that, and I've spent a lot of time, I have to say, trawling YouTube videos over the last few years, watching Billy Yang, Ethan Newbery, you know, all these things, and just going, oh my goodness, these people are amazing, and listening to Trail Runner Nation for years, hearing about what people gained from these experiences, that life in one day Billy Yang video.
Yeah, and I know that one. Is that 100 miler?
And going through just that gamut of ups and downs and emotions. And yeah, I know that now that I've done this, I've entered that territory where people who don't run look at me like I'm insane. Like, why would you do that? And the answer to that question is those experiences. It is having these lows and finding it within yourself to push past them and get through it and come out the other side and feel really proud of yourself. And so in that way, it was everything I wanted it to be because I had those experiences.
Yeah. Not all of them are good experiences, though, in some ways.
I actually wanted Yarrabilla to be my first ultra, but I hurt my knee in a Sturt Gorge event. A few people heard the story, but it was the stupidest thing of hitching up my pants while I was running because it was single track and I didn't want to get off the track and tweaked my knee. And so...
So you're pulling up your pants or you're just...
Yeah, they're just kind of...
Adjusting them?
I've worn some trackies that I hadn't worn in a while and they just were going down a little. So I tried to hitch and it didn't work, tweaked my knee. So then I was doing all this strength training and so I missed out on that, volunteered again. And then as I was heading into Heisen, I was feeling really good and feeling strong.
So the strength training obviously
strength training. Went to Form Physio, finally decided to shell out for that, which was worth it.
Yeah.
And so that put me in a position where I thought, I wish I'd entered the 57, not the 35. Because I feel like I'm kind of ready. And I made the mistake of saying that to Kate Elizabeth on a run. She spent the next 7 kilometres telling me how I'll be fine and I should switch with a week to go before the event, which I did.
she's very persuasive, Kate. I think she's a determined lady. Yeah.
Yeah. She's lovely and enthusiastic. And
yeah. She's done some amazing things herself. So with a week to go, you upped your distance by 22 kilometres. As a coach, I would normally recommend against that. Mm. However, as an ultra runner, I can completely understand.
I mean, I was looking at, my next opportunity isn't until Five Peaks in April.
Yeah.
Because I looked at
Who's got time to wait?
Oh, I know, right? Well... I kind of had an experience the year before where I'd wanted to do what I did this year, last year, but I was still really new and I overtrained. It's really simple. And ended up with a grade 2 tear of my calf.
In the lead up to Five Peaks?
No, that was in the lead up to Hubert last year, the Hubert Marathon. So I kind of did my own really endurance event there, which was coming back from that. Like, I learnt the most boring sport in the universe, which is pool running, as part of my rehab. I spent months running in the pool in the morning instead of running on the road.
So, pool running, is that where you wear a vest, where you're off the... Are your feet touching the ground?
No, and I don't know if many people know Blackwood Fitness Centre, but the part of the pool that's deep enough to do that is very small. So I basically tied myself like a dog on a lead to the edge of the pool so I'd stay in the one spot and, with a floaty and run.
Awesome. That's commitment. You know, I probably wouldn't do that.
Oh, my goodness. I was very glad when I was able to move to the elliptical and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, clawed my way back from that, and so I was a little frustrated that I was going to miss out again this year, and so it probably really didn't take much pushing for me to do that switch. But yes, it is very silly. I've told a few people, I did very well in the event I trained for, 35k, I was mid-pack, and the 57, I was way at the back, because I wasn't ready for that, but
no,
did it.
You did it, and it's, I think... You got through it. You didn't pull out. You didn't wimp out at 35. You stuck with your commitment. And it's hard. You probably... Because when you get to that 35K mark, you can very easily just sit down, yourself a nice refreshing beverage, and call it a day.
It was a very pleasant aid station. I did stay a bit too long because all the 35K people were relaxing and finished, and the 105Kers were taking their time and chilling out, and I was suddenly, ooh, I gotta go. Too busy chatting. But
And of course that last 22, well, I'll go into that in a second, but that just happens to be the hardest part of the whole race too. It's brutal. And all right then. So I want to pick your brain and go as deep as possible on your race. It's for those people who don't know, it's the Heysen 57. It's on the starts down at Encounter Bay near Victor Harbour near the bottom of the Heysen Trail, and it's generally flat-ish, but there's a lot of ups and downs through fields, isn't there? And so
it's 1400 meters, I think, in the 57 of elevation gain.
That's crazy, because in the full 105, it's probably only another 1,000 metres tops, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, there's still a bit of climbing, but,
Not much.
tell us about... So, take me from the bus, because I saw on the bus after the... Being on the bus myself, and the bus was running a little bit late, and I was getting anxious, and...
Yes, because we did cut it fine.
I know, and there's people that go on the toilet, and I'm like, God damn it, you children...
Well, I knew there was no toilets, so finish.
You've got to do what you've got to do. But yeah, so we got there in time, and then
So I was like a little. I described myself as like being a little meerkat on the bus. Like I was just up looking around, just so excited and terrified. I think both.
And so when it and so we got there, race took off. Those first couple of kilometres, take us through more about your mindset and how your body felt, maybe.
I kind of was having lots of fun and cruising, and then the first K beep went off, and I'm like, I think you saw my video. I went out way too fast for me, anyway. I'm sure. Lots of people, that's their normal pace, but
it's all relative.
Way too fast.
It's all relative.
And it's such a rookie mistake, but slowed down after that. And then this woman came and clapped me on the back about 3K in and said, nice pace. Oh, thank you. And that was the woman who came second. I've had that before. I've been slogging my way up a hill in an event, and this woman I've never met comes past and goes, great work. And that's Noosha Karen.
Oh, I know.
She's like an amazing runner. And speaks to the trail running community, how wonderful everyone is. So I had that, and so with people a lot at the beginning, it's all very social and friendly, and then gradually you start to be alone. I think from 10K it becomes your own journey.
It thins out,
definitely. And so, yeah, going Great Guns till about 15K. And that's when my knee started to hurt. And I think someone said it on one of your podcasts, and certainly Trail Runner Nation, I've heard over and over that a lot of pain is psychological. Yeah, you had a guy talking solely about pain.
Yes.
That a lot of your pain is psychological. Yeah, it's your brain being afraid of, hey, I remember something from before and trying to protect you. So I spent about 7 kilometres arguing with my brain that my knee's fine. And it did go away, and it was fine. But it took, about 7K.
It's interesting, yeah. I quite often, like, when I'm feeling like a niggle like that in a race, I do a systems check. But I do a systems check of only the things that feel good. So, like, my nose feels good, my fingers feel good. And, like, all the parts of the body that don't really matter in a race. Yeah. However, by the time you get through your body, that pain, if it's still there, maybe you should give it attention.
Yeah.
But if it's not... I mean, interesting. So it went away. You talked yourself out of it.
And tried to distract myself with the view a lot because, I mean, it's part of the reason we run on trails is they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous. I just constantly looking at the view,
taking photos. It was such a beautiful day. And the morning was lovely.
It was. Yeah, lovely. Probably about 20K is when my left hip and glute started. Now, they're just old issues from first child.
Right.
Yeah, cesarean and stomach split, you know, all that pain.
It's, that's a true ultra. It's a true ultra marathon. Any woman that's had a baby, basically, an ultra is just for fun.
Yeah, that was one. I did make some mantras, and one of them was like, if you can get through, because the second one was, you know, the pain-free natural. If you can get through that, goodness sakes, get over it, build a bridge.
This is just running.
But that was another one where I fought through that and did all the, you know, mental tricks to ignore it. And that also calmed down, and I've actually found it's been really good since. It's like I've made it better somehow. I don't know. That was cool.
Loosened it up or something.
Yeah,
who knows?
I don't know. And then first aid station, I came in feeling really strong and
so that's coming in Inman Valley?
Yeah, it was about, 17, 18K?
Yeah.
But yeah, felt good. I do remember about 25K, I just suddenly felt tired. It's like my brain just went, usually long runs are done by now, so what are we still doing out here?
Is that when, like, reality started to really kick in?
Yeah, like, well, it was like, if I was doing 35, that's okay. I've only got 10K to go.
Yeah.
And I could really ignore it and just keep trying. But knowing that I had quick maths, I can't do maths, 32K to go from there. No, that's right.
27Ks. Yeah. No, 32. Yeah, you're right.
That was a bit of a mental hurdle to get over.
So how did you get over it? What did you just go, just keep going? Just keep swimming, like Dory says?
Just keep going. Just playing games in my head. I had, like I said, I had written a little list of mantras beforehand because everyone says they're really good. So I was saying a few of them and, keep focus on the view. And one of the things actually that kept me going, the best mantra, was when Kate convinced me to switch and I texted Ben that night, he goes, yep, totally. You can do this. And it's like, oh my goodness. I didn't tell my husband.
Ah.
I started to tell other people, but didn't tell him. And that kind of became funny for me. I thought, oh God, imagine if I just turn up on the night after doing it. Because he was stuck at a work function and he couldn't have been there.
Yeah.
And just say, guess what?
And so you didn't even tell him on the day.
He was so sweet. Friday morning was the last time he saw me.
That's probably why you married him then.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He's lovely.
Yeah.
And he was, so what are you looking forward to and how you're feeling? He was being so supportive. And then in the actual run, he was home from work and just something in one of his texts made it sound like, oh my goodness, is he going to pick up the kids? And I'm having to worry about this in my last few Ks because, of course, he thinks I'm done by now.
Of course.
Oh my goodness. So anyway, one of my best things to keep me going was the look on Chris's face when I tell him.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful motivator. I'm actually really glad that I had that.
So you weren't worried you're going to get in trouble. You're worried about the very opposite.
I knew he did his very first ultra the month before, Yarrabilla.
Oh, okay. So he's a runner too, an ultra runner. Oh, great.
Well, he's just done his first one. And
I should have had him on here as well.
Yeah. He's good. And speaking of being a really nice guy, The way we got into this was just some postnatal depression. I was having real trouble getting going in the mornings, and one day I just kind of cracked it and went, let's go for a walk. Like, I need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And then saw a friend of mine getting super fit, someone who'd never really been fit, going, hey, I used to be fit. Let's make it couch to 5K.
Yes.
And my husband did not want to do that at all. No. But he did it. He didn't say that. He did it for me.
Yeah.
And now he loves it too. Yeah. And completely into it.
What's really not funny. To love?
I know.
It's because once you get going and you realize it's not as hard as you think it is.
Yeah.
It is. And like, it's such good therapy.
Yeah.
And
so shout out to him for being a good husband.
Well done, Chris.
Yes, well done.
You're making lots of other husbands look bad. But good on you.
Yeah.
No, my wife and I, similar kind of scenario, except I was running before we met.
Yeah.
And she's like, I should give this a go. This running bit. Because I told her, I said, look, this is my pub. Going running is my pub, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it's great. Anyway, carry on.
I just kept push to the 35K, which is great. Got to see lots of people I know, and they're really supportive, and seeing Rebecca Medhurst doing her 105 and she's still going strong, and I left that feeling really pumped, so I got all my energy back.
So is this after checkpoint?
Two, so 35K.
Yeah.
So I felt fantastic, and then I knew I had, because I know I've done a marathon.
Yeah.
I've never thought of Hubert as not doing having done a marathon, but it did run a little short, and so I was actually really looking forward to that technical 42.2 mark. So I just kept dangling carrots in front of myself, you know, and then the 50, getting to 50K, having that after as my little carrot going, you did that, you've done a 50K. Like, so I just broke it up
There's
into
milestones.
These mini goals.
Yeah. Great.
So that helped a lot. About 53K is where I hit another wall.
Yes.
Those last 4K were, ended up being 5.2.
getting onto the, because you get on to the, off the fields.
Yes.
Off that dirt road.
That dirt road sucked.
Yeah.
The heat.
On and on. And there's so much exposure in that section. And a lot of people, anyone who's done the race will know, between checkpoint 2 and 3, well, generally that's the DNF segment.
A lot of people
DNF through there. If they're doing the 105, they'll quit, they'll pull the pin at 57 because that just fries them. Years ago, I DNF'd at that checkpoint.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you're so exposed, the middle of the day.
Yeah.
But
I didn't realize how hot I was getting until I've completely forgotten her name. This girl was kind of, we were going back and forth with each other. I didn't realize at the time it was her husband sitting at the back of the boot of his car with his daughter, handing out bags of ice to runners because they're waiting for his wife to come through. And when I got that ice on my face, that's when I realized how hot I actually was.
Yeah, just from the sheer exposure.
Yeah. So that's why it was tough.
And it was quite a humid day too. I noticed I was quite dehydrated. I don't think I was drinking enough.
Yeah.
You know, but that happens because it's more humid than what we get.
And you didn't
have
your electrolytes to begin with that you normally have as well, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you?
I think you said that in the podcast.
My nutrition was not good that day because I was feeling unwell early on. But,
That was an interesting thing for me, actually. Because I only gave myself a week's notice.
Yeah.
You're saying, you know, as a coach, I don't want to tell you anything. What not to do. One of them is don't go into an event like that having never practiced eating.
Yeah, which, so you've never eaten.
No, I don't eat on my runs ever. And my goodness, I've got to eat. So I went to a Woolworths on the way up because I Googled and Clif Bars are at Woolworths. There were no Clif Bars.
Really?
No, at this Woolworths. So I stood there reading every label on all these bloody health bars. Going too much fiber, too much protein. I at least kind of knew a little bit.
Well done.
What I got was not a classic ultra runner health bar, that's for sure.
What was it?
I don't even know what it was. It was some choc orange thing. It wasn't a sports bar.
Did it sit okay though in your belly?
I I bought two and I nibbled it like a little mouse, just a little bit often.
That's very smart.
I did take a bite at one point and got a stitch almost immediately.
Yeah.
So stretched that out, that was painful, and then went back to a little mouse.
Yeah. No, I always say eat like a sparrow. It's,
yeah.
It's good.
But that was a bit idiotic. So I'm going to now, on my long runs, anything over 2 hours, I will take food and practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
No, look, I think you had the right idea. Like, stay away from protein. Yeah. Stay away from fiber.
Yes. So thanks to Trail Runner Nation, I knew that.
Well, good on
and
you.
I also knew that I should have a lot of fluid with what I eat.
Yes.
Otherwise my body will have trouble processing it. So, yeah, thank goodness that I did have that, or I would have been in trouble.
You seem like you're really resourceful and you listen. Yeah. So, well, I think you'll do okay. Yeah. Better than a lot of people. I've coached people and they just will go, I haven't got a clue. Now they think, and you know, look, there's all different types of diets, and I'm not a dietitian.
Yep.
You can speak to Steph Gaskell, I spoke to you last week.
Yeah.
But you know, like, there's one thing I know, protein, your body just can't digest it.
No.
And you know, there's people that get in there with their protein balls and stuff like that. You know, I'll generally eat a bags. I'll have potatoes the whole way along.
Yep.
Potatoes and pasta and noodles and loads of carby stuff. And
I had to eat differently because I usually we try and avoid sugar as much as possible, but I know that doesn't cut it on the day. So it was all lolly snake at the aid station and watermelon, a bit of banana, and just
you burn it so quickly,
put that fructose
though.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you do have to be careful. I try and stay away from sugar for as long as possible.
Yeah.
But again, because I was nauseous, it ended up being the only thing I could keep keep down. And it was funny. I finished my race, right? And I had all this food in drop bags. And when the next day, I was going through my drop bags that I and there was so much food that I didn't end up eating because I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so you're powering along.
Yeah. Last few Ks. This lovely woman whose name I can't remember. Sorry. she actually was a good motivator because we did go back and forth with each other, and we had since we got lost. We got lost about 41K in. There was a little marker that was torn and it was kind of a broken fence, so it wasn't clear, so that's where we added some time.
I think I remember that.
And another style where, there's a rat.
Whoa.
There's a rat running through the restaurant. so that was quite good. It's not like I was racing her.
Yeah.
But sometimes she would get a bit of burst of energy and she'd be ahead of me and that would make me go... Like I said, it wasn't a matter of beating her, but it was like, she'd seen my height and similar age and it had a bit of, if she can do it, I can.
Yeah.
And then I would end up overtaking her because she was she was doing more of a walk run where I was doing more of a grind at some points. And so, I'd overtake her, she'd overtake me. So that was good. I actually really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And it gave me company for that home stretch and something else to think about.
Yeah, and there's also that feeling of you don't want to see them disappear off into the horizon.
Yeah.
And then lose that elastic band.
Yes.
I always look at it as like an elastic band that it can keep pulling you along.
So I think the only moment where I actually got a little bit down was about 57.6 because I didn't know how much getting lost had added. And there was a bend, and I felt sure that when I came around that bend, I would see the finish line, and I went around that bend, and it wasn't there.
It's coming down the dirt, the bitumen road.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was crushed.
Yeah.
I was so desperate to be done by that point.
Yeah.
So it was another half a kilometre from there, and then I was done.
And when you finished,
how
can you describe your finish line feels?
Ah. That's hard. It's hilarious.
You can see the finish from a long way off.
You can, it's really funny looking back at the video I took of that because it's of the ground. I was obviously so tired, I couldn't even lift my phone properly.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's not many people there. I mean, most of them have gone through because I was slow and, it was very quiet, but there was finish line. But there was that guy who'd been handing out ice. He was there with a full setup picnic. And there was a little kid that came running up and was so excited to give me my medal. And the people who were there were all like clapping like mad, as they do in trail events. And I don't know how to describe it. People who've done it, I guess, know the feeling of pride, of pushing past everything you've gone through and that feeling of, I've done it.
Yeah. It's relief mixed with, like, satisfaction, isn't it?
Nothing like it. Yeah. For those considering doing an ultra, it's worth it just for that feeling. Exactly. I wish I could put words to it.
That's what keeps us coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think I've done about 15 or... I don't know. I'm actually not sure at the moment. Somewhere between 15 and 20 ultras.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I still get that same feeling. Mm. So...
I actually got that feeling for the first time last year in Anstey Hill, you know, the 14-kilometre...
The summer trail series?
Yeah. I'd gone out and done a run that was too much for me, that close to an event, and my calf still wasn't quite right, and I didn't really realise how they'd changed the beginning, so it was all going to be uphill for a K, and it kind of pushed out a little too fast, and then my calf just started hurting, and I was in so much pain. And 4K in, I thought, I'm going to DNF. My first DNF, a 14K event. This is ridiculous.
But if you're injured, it's not the worst.
Well, it was... I'd spent months getting better, so it was just it was complaining more than being injured.
Yeah.
And I was feeling really frustrated, and so I just downloaded Spotify, and so I put on the Ginger Runner. I'd never listened to his music, but now it's one of my favorites.
Oh, great.
I put it on and I cranked it up,
and it helped,
and I just ran.
Nice.
2K later, the pain went away.
Yeah.
And I cried in the middle of the race because I was just so proud that I hadn't stopped.
Yeah.
And that I'd push past it. And I know that, you know, there's injury pain and you should never ever push through it, but I knew this wasn't that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. It was
that's
tough.
Awesome. It's funny. Yeah, no, look. And I think pain in 14 kilometres or 57 kilometres, it's all relative, you know, to the effort that you're putting in, because obviously you're running faster in 14 and there's different, so it's a different kind of pain.
Yes.
Look, I'll be honest with you, I dread a 5K park run more than an ultramarathon sometimes, because you're just, you're going straight into the pain zone straight away.
Yeah.
Whereas with an ultra, I always say an ultra is like slowly, like the frog in the pot of water, where you turn the, then you start boiling it, and that's how it is. It's gradual pain, and before you know it, you're boiling.
But I didn't go through any of the classics. I didn't get any chafing, but I kind of know my chafe points, and I prepped them, and I had Sudocrem. By the way, why pay
cream.
Money for all that rubbish? All your Sudocrem left over from your kids works a treat.
I think the only any parents out there, no.
Yeah.
I use Sudocrem. I recommend using it on your feet.
Yeah.
For when you run, if it's going to be a wet race and your shoes are going to get wet.
And it's got that natural antibiotic property.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that.
I am not sponsored by Sudocrem. However,
I'm sponsored by the leftovers in my cupboard. Yeah. I didn't get any cramps.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was having Noon, because that's a real low sugar electrolyte.
I don't know it.
It's good, because I tried a few different ones and I find them all sickly, but Noon's not really sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can don't get, what's it called? Flavor fatigue, I think is the term from that. My poor husband gets massive cramps whenever he runs. He actually quit Hubert. You know, you get back near the campsite in the marathon when we ran it together this year. He quit. He said, see you later. You go on without me. I got to the top at Tandera Saddle over the other side, and I hear these footsteps coming up behind me. He changed his mind.
Oh, good.
So that he'd been having
came out of retirement.
Cramps for ages, and he pushed through them and kept going.
Does he eat? Is he an eater?
Not a huge eater.
So in the race?
So
no. I used to cramp a lot early on, and so... Since I started taking nutrition more seriously, that went away.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, they say it's to do with salts and a lack of salt, and like magnesium might help.
Yeah.
And that could be a quick fix. But I found just having eating quite well during a run.
Yeah. That's something we both need to practice a lot.
Got to
work on. What are the other classics? Oh, blisters. I didn't get any blisters, but I did another thing you shouldn't do before an ultra.
New shoes. Did you use new shoes? Good on you.
But the problem was, I had Saucony Peregrine 6s. I loved them.
Yeah.
Wore them for ages. They ran out. I bought the 7s. Tried them on. Thought they were great. And then as soon as I'd get over maybe 13-15k, they would make my feet hot, like boiling hot.
Really?
Take my shoes off, air them out hot. I don't know why. And I finally had to go, this is ridiculous. I'm going to get blisters. I have to change shoes.
Yeah.
So I went and saw Beck at her BKT trail store and said, I have to change shoes this close to an event. And I went there, outras. So I went, oh, whoa, backfire.
Wow, we've got everything
name is
here.
Jump, yeah.
We are sitting
rats,
in a pub, and yeah. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
So yeah, my very first zero drop shoes. So I even went down a bit.
Yeah.
Because the Sauconys are only 4 mil, so I'd been working my way down. But I finally went zero. But the wide toe box, it's like a dream.
Having I'm right there with you on the wide toe box because I like a bit of wiggle room.
Yes.
And because your feet do swell.
Yes.
And from the heat and the So that was good. So no dramas with your feet?
No dramas with my feet. There was something else. There were four things that is everyone's classic. I can't remember what the fourth is.
So you basically had no major problems. Did you even really run an ultra?
I know, right?
You haven't had the real ultra experience.
No, apparently Kate says I have because I said in a little Facebook post where everything hurt all the way up from my feet to even my biceps and my shoulders hurt. From holding my arms in that position.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was kind of, this happened, this happened. Even my throat hurt because I ate too much potato and salt at the end and actually burnt my throat a little bit.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, from here to here, it hurts. And she said, sounds like you ran an ultra.
Yeah, that's right. It's a nice feeling. Oh, look, I get a little bit of the post-race blues when the soreness goes away. I usually, but it's funny, I hang on to that soreness.
Is that why a week later, Chris and I signed up for the 105?
You did.
We did.
You signed, both of you.
The early bird was so good.
Yeah. So
we've both been thinking about it as a long-term thing for a while, and a year away seems reasonable. We're hoping to fit another 250Ks in between now and then.
I think you can definitely do it in 12 months.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. It's just good. It's a good thing, though, that there's not like a longer distance that you can change to a week before. Like
my goodness.
Someone says, run the 100 miler.
No.
There is no 100 miler.
Oh, my goodness. No.
But,
No.
Well done. So you're gonna go for it.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is, in that race, the worst of it is in that first 57.
Everyone keeps telling me that. Jane Luke is saying that.
It's not all easy, though.
The first 35 has most of the elevation gain. And
it's still hard, though, because it's still an extra 45 kilometres or whatever.
Yes.
And so
the grind.
Yeah.
But I'll be trained for it because I won't have a week's notice this time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, that's a good ending to that particular story. That's great. So when you signed up, so you clearly weren't put off by any of your experience. So it sounds like you had a positive experience. And I guess the reason why I wanted to get someone like yourself, like a new ultra runner, is because, I mean, I've interviewed some really
amazing people. Yeah.
However, they're intimidating
to
the average runner. I mean, to everyone, to me. Brendan Davies.
Beck 240. Butler. Well, it's 240.
Miles.
Three with the detour plus whatever she got lost.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's miles. So what's that about? Ends up about 380, 390 kilometres?
I can't even count that high.
And Brendan Davies, he's incredible.
Yeah, I get intimidated when someone, can sit on 3 minutes 30 for 100 kilometres, he did a 7:08 100K. 7 hours and 8 minutes on flat. And
I'm definitely mid-packer.
Impressive. I think
I did a 410 once in an interval, and I was super happy.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, good on you. No, so, did you ever run, were you a runner before, back when you were in school or anything like that?
I would run a little bit for fitness. And I did do a massive ankle tear about 14 years ago. And it took a lot of fighting back to come back from that. It was quite severe. And then I had a bit of that, stubborn determination. Okay, I can now get my heel to the ground jogging without pain. What's next?
Yeah.
And so I actually did the City to Bay for the first time, which seemed like an immense distance. And I was so happy with that. And
so
I've done it once or twice since then. And but that was kind of sporadic, and it never really turned into anything, and it was all roads. And someone from my work, Tina, actually got me to come out to, hey, you're running a little bit, come out to this group run. This is where all trail running began, this one invite to a group run from Belair National Park to McGilligan's. And Barry McBride was running that. And I did this run. I was building up to a 10K road run in Barossa, which for me was, you know, really big. And there were these nutters, as I thought of them at the time, who not only got to McGilligan's, but then turned around and went back and did 20 kilometres. What? Blew my mind. And then there was a little group chat at the She Oak Cafe afterwards. And I was sitting there because I used to do martial arts and got to black belt. And kind of kids and life and everything got in the way. And I sat there going, I didn't realize how much I miss my karate community and all my karate friends until this moment of seeing these people. It's my first introduction to trail community.
Yeah.
Seeing these wonderful people done this amazing thing, hanging out together.
And they're bonding over running.
Yes.
It's not...
And that, I would say that's the moment that I got hooked.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually do trail running for a little while, but I did my little 10K event and then started thinking about it. And I'd built up to an 18K long run a few months later and thought, I'm going to go do a trail run. And I did 18K on the trail, having no idea how different it would be to road running. And by 9K, so out and back, so I couldn't cut it short at that point, I realized what a terrible mistake I'd made and got to my car more exhausted and hungry than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
an idiot. But
it takes so much longer than like if you were doing it on the flat. Yes. Like so much longer.
But I loved it. It was so pretty and awesome. And so it all began from one little invite. And I think to kind of kudos to the trail running community, and Ben Hockings has heard the story, but my husband got hooked at Hubert. It sounds funny because he's already doing a marathon trail run. It sounds like he's hooked. But this moment when he crossed the line, and he's close to being dead last in that event. He had cramping.
Yeah, yeah.
Massive calf cramps, and kudos to him for battling through what he battled. So it took him 7.5 hours, and he got through. And there's all these people applauding him and super enthusiastic that he crossed the line. He's kind of looking around going, what? Because in road running, no one would care.
No.
No one even look at you.
He
just felt so welcomed and accepted, and he loved that feeling. And I think that's where he got hooked. Speaking for him, but
it's not just the trail; it's the people. It's the community. Yeah. I mean, the trails are fantastic, and that's I think what brings everyone out. In Heisen on the weekend, you know, like so in my 105, I had a few low points because of my nausea. So they're coming into checkpoint four myself, so that's like 77 Ks.
Yeah.
And there was I was feeling quite terrible. And you come out of a little single track and you sort of burst out of the bush and there's the aid station right in front of you. And there was probably 100 people there. And they all cheered for me. And I got the hairs on the back of my neck stood up.
Yeah.
And I just immediately started smiling and I felt like a rock star.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel bad anymore.
No.
You know, and I had a bit to eat, and then I pushed on, and then at the next aid station, it was just as good, got a huge cheer, felt great. And then the finish line, there was probably 200 people there, and when I finished, it was like a full-on party, and I sprinted the last 100 metres, as you do, and just because it was like,
Did you arrive in daylight?
I just missed it.
I was going to say...
That was my goal.
Oh, so you're lucky then, because Michelle would have had the fairy lights up again?
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah.
You don't want to miss Michelle's fairy lights.
I know. My goal was to get in before before it got dark, and I probably had about 45 minutes of using a head torch.
Yeah.
And so, I think... So next time I'll have to sort my nutrition out and get in under... I reckon I could have taken an hour off. I did it in just under 14 hours.
Okay. I have no idea what I'd be aiming for, but kudos to
Kim
Williams and Beck Medhurst, who battled it out. What were they? About 22.5 hours.
Yeah.
a little bit either side for the either of them.
And Dion, who one of the ladies that
I saw her on the trail.
I trained Dion.
Yeah.
And she had I was so proud of her. And because I waited at the finish line for her, so I slept. It's like when you fall asleep at the end of a movie.
Yeah.
That's how I felt, because I woke up and Dion was right there in front of me, and she goes, "Daniel, wake up." And I was like, "Oh, Dion, I'm so sorry. I fell asleep." It's like I missed the finish. But she was happy that I was there.
Yeah.
And yeah, those guys, to be out there for that many hours.
They say on Trail Runner Nation all the time, anyone in front of you is amazing. The burn, the sacrifice in time and training to be there, and anyone behind you is amazing.
Yeah.
To be out there that long. What grit and determination. Everyone's a hero.
Well, the longest I've ever been out is 16, just over 16 hours. That's the longest I've ever continuously moved for, so I can't even fathom being out there for 22 hours.
Oh,
so what can you, do you want to share what your time was?
Oh, mine was about 9:40. I'd had hoped for about 8.5 hours, but between hanging out at the aid station and getting a bit lost twice and taking lots of photo and videos, I probably could have done it in 9. And then hitting a couple of walls and being totally new to it.
You live and you learn. Well, based on that time, I'm going to predict that you'd get in way under 20 hours for 105. So
hopefully between 18, 19.
Aim for the buckle.
More under 20. No.
Being
realistic. That's another psychological thing I went in with. I'd love to be able to do it in this time, but I also had in my head, you could be out here for, you know, this long, and I had it could be 9.5 hours that you're out here ended up being over, because I'd heard that if you go in with, this is my time, when you start going over that, you actually can get quite down. It can be really drag you.
It can crush you, yeah.
Yeah. So if you go in there knowing, look, this would be great, but this is likely how long I could be out here. It can actually, you feel better about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The interview I did with Beck Butler, and she said a lot of wise things, but one of the things that stuck with me and a few other people have told me is about don't sort of dream it over. Just enjoy being in the experience.
Yeah.
You know, no matter for good or for better or worse, sort of thing. Yeah. These aren't her exact words, but
I noticed that too, and when I went and bought those shoes, I actually mentioned that bit from her podcast, going, I loved that bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you paid a lot of money and you put in a lot of time and effort and sacrifice to be here. Why make it over quickly?
It's like a great metaphor for life, really.
Yes.
It's the perfect metaphor, you know.
Yes.
It's like, I'd like to live till I'm 100, but I don't want to rush to it.
No.
I don't want to rush to 100. I want to enjoy the ages, all the ages in between.
Yes. Yes. Not wish your life away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's how a lot of people see it. And I know sometimes things can go terribly in races, and I've had plenty of terrible races, and I've had plenty of great races, and I've had plenty of in the middle races. And the thing that, but they're all right. They're all races. You just got to enjoy it.
But what makes them so great, really?
Because I did it quickly.
Is that you go in with this possibility that you could actually fail.
Yeah.
This isn't a given, what you're about to do.
No.
And that is part of the fear / excitement, because our lives are pretty safe.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing trail running gives us.
That risk, adventure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. No, and that's why I think I get this, I think about this a lot, and I often think that, I think about young men, and this seems really way out there, but like alcohol-related violence. As I mentioned to you before, I don't drink alcohol because it was a problem. It was a problem in my life, and I didn't want it anymore, so I got rid of it. And I'm proud that I don't.
Mm.
Like, I don't begrudge anyone for drinking because it's their own choice, but for me, it disagreed with me. And I think there's a lot of this young men who drink far too much and get aggressive. Because I feel like they're looking for something.
Yeah, what's their outlet?
Yeah, and so my outlet now is to go and get savage on the trails, and you know, and like get that release that way. And so, I think it is a very primal thing to go.
I find that I get to work, you know, it's work.
Yeah.
And I'm inside with my job a lot, but I go to that inside workplace having seen the sunrise and seen Ruse because I've been out the Sturt Gorge that morning.
Yeah.
You know, and getting dirty, muddy, going, ah, brown snake, or whatever has happened. I've had that little bit of adventure in my day before work begins.
Yeah, I sometimes like to think of it as my little secret, you know? It's like, you don't know what I've seen. I've seen the sunrise this morning. Did you know that even happened?
No, yeah. I understand that feeling. Yeah,
yeah. No, that's awesome. I think you've got a great perspective on the whole thing. And I think I can see you doing a lot more of these ultras and really? Yeah, and just keep learning. And I think you'll do great. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with running fast or running slow or running in the middle.
Sitting in the mid-pack.
Yeah. I think the key is just enjoy it.
And whenever we see any results and we're like, front of the mid-pack, we go, woohoo! We're very excited because with full-time work, two kids, and with both of us wanting to train and having to take turns,
Difficult. Do you do the tag team thing? One goes running and the other one stays home?
Tuesday, Thursday mornings. He's got Monday, Wednesday mornings. And we just had a discussion, actually. It was him doing Saturdays, me doing Sundays. But now we're going to kind of alternate a little. So 1 week, someone's Saturday and it's a shorter run. And then someone's Sunday and it's quite a significant run. And alternate that. Yeah. Yeah.
If you want it, you can make it work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And my big question before we wrap up shortly is that you both entered the 105 next year.
Yes.
And do you plan on running it together or running your own race?
No, he's much faster. And if we look at our Garmin data, my stride length is about 0.79 and he's about 1.2.
Okay.
So
he must be is he tall or
he's taller than me, ran Hubert with me and he found that incredibly difficult. It's hard running someone else's race, no matter if they're faster or slower.
I thank
him for that because I was you know, snakes, getting lost, first really big thing like that. So that was awesome, but no, we don't run together. I envy couples who run about the same pace.
Yeah.
But no, he's faster than me.
I think it's great. Yeah, my wife and I, well, actually, it's funny you mentioned Hubert together because next year we're planning on running the 50 together.
Yeah.
And because we've never done a race together.
Okay.
And we've always wanted to. And
we did a practice before.
We might get divorced afterwards.
Yeah, we did O'Halloran Hill together as a practice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to totally dob him in. When we started for a while, he was like half a step in front of me.
Yeah.
And I did crack it and go, what are you doing? That's not running with me. But it was good. That's what we're doing. We're kind of working out what annoys us about each other. And there were a few things I did that annoyed him. And, you know, we talked about it afterwards so that Hubert was actually really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, couples doing things together.
I know. And especially when once you've got kids, you don't get much alone time. And
no.
So, whenever we get the opportunity to go for a jog together, we try and make it fun, you know. And
he was absolutely awesome in Hubert.
Yeah.
Really fun to be with. And it was funny when he actually did stop. Straight away, he was saying, you go on, because he knew how much it meant to me. And he'd done it the year before. And I was a bit, okay, bye.
I'm just going to leave you on the scariest part of the race now, wife.
Yeah. It's like, kind of don't tell Ben because my phone, I accidentally broke it on the way up and you meant to have your own phone.
Yeah,
so
he
was phoneless for a little bit.
Ah, okay.
But then he caught up with me, so it was all good.
We've got it on recording now, so Ben, you're going to have to disqualify.
I promised you we'd stay together, but he was only about 500 metres from camp. No.
I'm sure you're fine.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm so excited to see where you go. So you're going to do a couple of 50s between now and then, did you say?
Yeah, I actually signed up for Five Peaks today before their super early bird ran out.
There you go. Another scoop.
Another scoop. And then I've had dear old Kate, who's, like I said, makes everything sound easy, said that Yarrabilla before Hyson is 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll treat it like a training run. I won't be going for any kind of speed.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
It never works for me though.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
I every time I run, I feel like for me, it's too close and I don't fully recover.
Yeah.
But it's not to say it's not the same for everybody.
Because I was looking at the mole and I don't think I can get the time off work for anything else. No. And Yarrabilla's right in the hills, so...
Do it. No, yeah. I think... I think it's great. And I think that you'll make it work one way or another.
Yeah.
And, but if you're going to do... My biggest advice to you anyone...
I've been asking for advice on the Heisen page. No, well, it's a fresh in your minds, everyone.
Never underestimate the distance. Mm, and just, you know, that. I mean, 56 is an epic... And don't get me wrong, 57. But when you're stepping up to 100 kilometres, keep that... Respect that distance. Even... I mean, you've got to respect... I respect... 35k, 57, they're a different kind of
race. Because you run differently.
Yeah.
And you, like you said, you run faster the shorter it gets.
So just don't underestimate the distance. That's all. That's, I mean, but yeah, so it's just leave no stone unturned and make sure you get the mileage in.
Yes.
And more, that's more important
that's
than anything
probably
else.
The biggest challenge for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And but so, yeah, but I... But and keep listening to this podcast and I'll throw out heaps of tips and I'll interview as many people as I can who will also throw out heaps of tips. Yeah. But no, so as a listener to the podcast, you know how we finish it normally. I haven't done when that's my fast five. And as I said to you before, I have lost my diary. So if anyone sees a black and red diary anywhere that has my name in it.
Lost at the Heisen.
Lost it at the Heisen.
Yep.
Feel free to send it to me or get in touch because it's got my entire life in there. Oh, not really, just stuff related to running and coaching and the podcast. But anyhow, so in, but it also has all my questions for the Fast Five, but I think I should have memorized most of them by now. So it might not be a Fast Five, it'll be like a medium paced five. All right, okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. Question one, they're not going to be in the right order.
Okay.
So is... We're going to start with your bucket list race.
Ooh,
what's a race?
Sense.
Yeah, what do you want to do? Ultimate race.
If I could ever negotiate the time off work or get long service leave to time.
It's a bucket
Tarawera.
List. Tarawera.
I think Tarawera. The rainforests. It just looks absolutely beautiful.
I agree.
That would be my bucket list race.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure, again, if you build it, you know, kind of thing.
They will come.
They will come. Yeah. Number two, do you have a favourite running film or documentary?
Well, like I said, I do all that lovely YouTube trawling.
Yes.
And there's even that Finding Traction documentary on Netflix is awesome. But
Nikki Kimball.
Yes.
Yes.
I think my favourite one, I've even used this with a class talking about filming and documentaries is... Yep. What's it called? Oh, 30 Hours. The Wally Heseltine story. That guy who's, you know...
I don't know.
He was 72 doing the most famous 100-miler ever.
Western States.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. Doing Western States. And he didn't quite make it.
Oh.
Only just.
Oh.
But epic. I mean, this man does an event every month.
Yeah.
He did. But... Oh, this documentary is amazing.
So, sorry, what's it called?
30 Hours.
30 Hours.
Because that's their cutoff. They've got 30 hours to do it.
And I'm going to have to check it out.
Watching his journey was incredible. That's on Vimeo, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll look for it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, question three. Now that you've done an ultra, you can answer this. No, it doesn't. You can do it after.
No, yeah.
So your favourite post-race... treat.
Oh,
so food, drink,
or
whatever.
I don't have one yet. I did buy myself a vanilla La Rice for after Heisen, and that went down pretty well.
A vanilla
actually.
What?
La Rice.
What is that?
It's like a sweet, it's rice pudding-y kind of thing.
Oh.
That was pretty mega, but I was at the 57 aid station and someone else in the distance mentioned chip sandwich. I'm like, oh, I've been at a chip sandwich since high school. So I got a little sandwich.
Yeah.
I ate the cheese and cucumber, put chips in it, and that was brilliant.
You know, that's actually, from a nutrition point of view, when you're running, that would be fantastic. All those carbs and the salt.
Well, it made me feel 14 again, so that was good.
Excellent. So hang on, what have we got next? We've done the...
Oh, it'd be roads or trails.
Oh, roads versus trails.
But I've talked a lot about the switch and what I've noticed from that switch. So definitely trails.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's... Trails is winning in the tallies.
Yeah.
And the last question, the last kilometre. So we've had the movie, They've had the
food. Roads or trails?
Roads or trails.
Did we do four or five? I can't count.
Look, yet again, this happened when I interviewed Ben Hocking, so I didn't have my diary with me. And just shows like preparation. Don't ever do this. Yeah. Don't be ill prepared for your ultras in the same way I'm ill prepared for this podcast. So I have to leave it there. If I think of it, I'll email it to you and I'll make sure the world knows. Okay. But so we'll call this this is a DNF.
Okay.
It's a DNF thanks to me. It's I've got to find my diary.
That really sucks.
All right. So thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me. It was a real honour. I mean, I live on podcasts. All my long runs are podcasts. I couldn't live the week to week waiting for Trail Runner Nation, so I actually went back right to their beginning, and I'm up to 2014 at the moment. Yeah, and now I've got you as well to alternate between.
Wow, thank you.
It's really good. It's,
I'm amazed that people actually listen. You didn't realise that dozens of people are going to listen to this.
Oh my.
No, actually, to be fair, to be honest, I'm now in the thousands of listeners.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, yeah. So it surprises me.
Yeah.
But
that's great.
And well people, done. Yeah, so I'm really appreciative for people such as yourself who say hello and thank and say nice things.
Yeah, that was funny on
me.
That bus. Yeah. I heard that voice. I'm like, I know that voice.
I know.
I'd never seen your face.
It's like my John Laws voice.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, we might see you again on the podcast. And I didn't even get to talk to you about your videos, your YouTube videos.
Yeah.
But you have a YouTube channel, do you? Or do you just, you've only put a couple up?
No, I've only got, I did a little video of the Hubert this year. Just, you know, it's pretty epic for me. And it's funny because I feel so embarrassed about those videos because I teach media studies and I could do so much better, but I do not have the time in my life to plan and organize and make that. So it's just total shaky handheld, mobile phone. Is what it is.
I think I really like
it's fun.
Your videos for their honesty, and I think they'll film pretty well considering if it was just on your phone.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to document your next couple of ultras.
Yeah.
And you have to start preparing for that too.
Yeah. Because, oh my goodness.
Yeah, you've got a responsibility to the world out there now. No, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So, until next time, thanks a lot, Rebecca.
Thank you.
See you later.
Cheers.
Hey, so I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Rebecca as much as I did. I think she showed true grit and determination to get through her first ultra. Very impressive work, Rebecca. Maybe she even inspired you to go out and have a go at an ultra. If you'd like to run an ultra, or maybe just improve your running in general, I know a great coach who can help you. Me. That's right, I'm a coach, and I'd love to welcome you to my team. Front of the pack, back of the pack, fast, slow, it doesn't matter. I love coaching all abilities and ages. So email me on distancerunnersunlimited@gmail.com to find out more. So until next week, happy running!